The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk. Is News.
So our Friday forum has assembled. I'm joined by Senator Pauline O'Reilly, Green Party general election candidate for Galway West, Marion Harkin, TD for Sligo, Leitrim, North Roscommon and South Donegal, and Hugh O'Connell, political editor with the Sunday Independent. Good morning, one and all.
Good morning.
We want to talk about the spy in Leinster House. Now, even if you knew, Hugh, you wouldn't tell me, would you?
No.
You'd have to shoot me.
Well, I don't have to shoot you, but I'm just not going to tell you.
Yeah. But do you?
Would you shoot me if I didn't tell you?
That's more likely. But I mean, everybody know and no one's saying, or?
Well, I mean, I'm sort of in a difficult position because of who I work for. Obviously,
and you might be writing about who it is on Sunday.
Well, my colleague John Mooney obviously broke this story last weekend, and I'm sure he'll be writing about it again this weekend. And indeed, I will be writing about the political fallout from it this weekend. And look, I suppose it's been the talk of Leinster House this week. I think Marion and Pauline would say that to you as well. Yeah. And there are, look, we can't discuss names. Of course, there are names flying around. But, it was interesting that there was a number of senators got up in the chamber, I think was it on Wednesday, to declare that it wasn't them. I am not Spartacus, I
suppose. Pauline, did you stand?
Did you affirm? I actually went live on television, Pat, and said that it wasn't me. So I went one better.
Because it kept on reminding me of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Mm.
It's not you.
Okay.
And then you turn, it's not you.
Mm.
But who is it? That's the question. Marion?
Well, look, as a colleague of mine said the other day, forget about the Russians, she said. This place is full of Chinese whispers. So to me, I have to say, I've scanned the story and there certainly seems to be something in the story, but that's all it is. It hasn't gone beyond that. And I suppose I listened to what the Taoiseach said, who said he was amazed that as Minister for Defence and Taoiseach, nobody had ever briefed him. Surely if there was a threat, as distinct from maybe something going on, I've no idea. But I presume if there was a threat, if there was something real happening, that the Minister for Defence and the Taoiseach would have to be.
Well, now, it's interesting. We talked about this during the week in the programme in passing. Ivana Bacik at one point asked Leif Radker's Taoiseach for a briefing on security matters for leaders of the opposition parties. Mm. And Leo's reply was, sure, I don't even get that.
Well, I thought what was interesting in the Taoiseach's comments yesterday was that he seemed to be saying that he had some issues with the manner in which we gather, not so much gather intelligence, but in which we do intelligence in this country.
And he had issues the flow with the leak, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, the flow of information. He did have issues with the
he
leak,
did,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, but I mean, that implies that someone, you know, John has worked
very... there was something to leak.
Well, John has worked very diligently on this story for a long time. I know that. And he's well-sourced. So, look, I don't know how this information got out, but it's got out. And John, as I said, is well-sourced and reported on this story for a long time before he broke it last weekend. But what the Taoiseach's issue seems to be is the manner in which we kind of intelligence is, I guess, briefed to politicians. And, you know, we don't have things in this country, as far as I'm aware, like levels of security clearance and things like this. I mean, you know, I'm accredited in Leinster House. I presume I've gone through some sort of Garda vetting, but I don't really know. I don't have any level of clearance. I'm not sure what the situation is for two elected representatives over here.
I think, you know, we meet with diplomats all of the time from a huge variety of countries. I'm on the Organisation for Security and Cooperation in Europe, for instance, and there's 59 countries in that. Russia is one. The US, Canada are also there. And I think what it highlights is that this could happen at any stage. The people elect their TDs and their senators. You don't necessarily know what the background is. And so I think we're all looking to see what kind of security there is there, because it puts everybody in jeopardy, to be honest with you. And because you're a public figure, there might be an ability to get...
You see, time was when, you know, when Russia was red, it was communist, it was socialist, not the model of socialism or communism, but that's what it was.
Yes.
And there were people in this country who were ideologically supportive of the whole communist socialist ideal. Mm. Russia has changed completely. I don't know what it is today, but certainly.
Yeah, you're right there, Pat.
So if someone is doing it for Russia, they must be doing it for money.
Well, look, if is the question, and money is the question, and what's going on here. And we have to recognise that Russia certainly operates in this way. It operates in this way across the whole world. The latest is Moldova and what's happening there. So we can't, you know, just forget about that. But the question is, the story we're speaking of is at the moment at the level of reporting. And it's not gone beyond that. And I just find it difficult sometimes when I don't see some evidence of either somebody benefiting, as you said, money, or of some leak, or of some way in which this person was able to influence.
All right, just go into the Doyle car park and check out who's driving a Lada.
I mean, I know, or I'm a brand new spanking car.
I'm making a bit of fun of them. This, because even the name Cobalt.
I don't see too many.
Well, I see
round
a few.
Well, you might, but I'll tell you, because I park in Merrion Square and I'm a 14, and I often look at the numbers as I go down and I think, am I the average? Am I in the middle? And that's about where I am.
Just to go back to the point, I actually think since Brexit, Ireland has become a more important outpost, actually. And you could kind of see that with the invasion of Ukraine. Like, there isn't the same kind of access to the UK. Ireland is potentially an easier access point. And so I think that there's a heightened level of security that we need now. And I'm not sure that that conversation has happened. I actually think this story is hugely important from that point of view. And yes, we've been, you know, joking about the IM Spartacus and so on in around Leinster House. But I think most of us are thinking, actually, what's the longer term consequences of this?
Yeah, I mean, I think that is something that has arisen out of this story. Is, you know, how seriously do we take these issues in this country? And I'm not sure that we do. I'm not sure that we have the security and intelligence capability to deal with these kinds of threats that are now, as you say, Pauline, more likely in the face of you know, just international circumstances, the way in which Russia is behaving and has been behaving over the last number of years, but also obviously that Britain is now out of the EU, and, you know, Ireland is a. I mean, we only have to see the expansion of the Russian embassy on Orwell Road, you know, in Rathgar, to know that you know, clearly they were up to something.
The question really about Cobalt is, if this person does exist, male or female, where are they placed? I mean, if you're a backbencher, you know nothing. Yeah. Even in a government party, you know nothing.
And you influence.
What can you tell?
Yeah, well, that's the issue, I think, also. But I think I absolutely agree that it is a real threat. And while at the moment it's a little bit jokey, we should not play that down. It's a real threat and we see it happening. So there's the two, we have two aspects here. We have what's happening or supposed to be happening with the real threat from the Russians. And yet we need more evidence to know what's happening here. But you're right, Pauline. I think all TDs, all public reps need some kind of training or some kind, because loads of people request meetings all the time. You see some of them, you don't see others. And part of it is time.
Yeah, by the way,
the
Pavel Tobin thing where he turned down an invitation from the Russians and would have got maybe the promise of a meeting with Putin. Bertie went, I don't know whether he met Putin or not, but this was 2017, after the Crimean invasion, when Obama did nothing, you know, he didn't react, and before the invasion of Ukraine. So we were in a kind of hiatus.
I met lots of Ukrainians after that, as a member of the European Parliament, for example. Didn't meet any Russians, but it's just politicians meet lots of people.
Meet people you don't agree with, and that's part of it. I mean, that's part of diplomacy, that you meet people you don't agree with, but it's what level at which, you know, you can influence. But I also think, and it's quite apart from spying and what kind of influence you might have on government and the state, if there are such tight links, if there's blackmail potentially going on in different situations and you might be more susceptible to it, if you're in the public eye and you're making contributions, to what extent are you actually in our parliament making contributions on behalf of another state? Okay. I mean, there's all kinds of questions.
That's the issue. So, I mean, you posed the question there, you know, what information could a backbencher necessarily give? And, you know, obviously, you know, we're not identifying anyone here, but it's more about influence and what can they do. Their position as, you know, they're elected to represent their constituents or the people that elect them. they're not there to speak on behalf of a foreign government, and that is the issue.
Now, it is the issue, but just one important point there. If everybody has the same view, then that's the status quo. And if anybody, whatever the issue is, speaks above or beyond it, then they cannot in some way be seen as a person who might be more likely to be targeted.
I don't think that's what we're
saying, Mary. No, but I do think that's important, because sometimes it's the status quo that matters. And if you move outside it, you're seen perhaps as, not that you're seen as, but that there's a possibility you could be seen as somebody who's influenced by ABC.
Yeah, well, people are influenced by all sorts of things.
Yes,
their own personal opinions. It's interesting, the clues that are being offered. Cobalt is a shade of blue. Any suspicions as to which party they're referring to? You know, that's what our listeners are saying. A complete nonsense story leaked by Fine Gael to distract, and it certainly worked, says another. If they were leaking it, they possibly would have gone red or green for the Greens, would they not, if they wanted to point the finger around the direction? Anyway, we'll move on to far more serious matters. The safety of our troops in the UNIFIL operation in Lebanon. We had the chief of staff on this morning, who is quite emphatic that they will stay unless there is a decision by the UN to take them out.
And I think that decision is one that doesn't come, without a lot of discussion and debate and a very careful and considered decision.
They've been there for 40 years, and he said
exactly,
going back in, very difficult once you pull out.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you're right. Once you pull out, how do you go back? And that's a real issue. And for me, I suppose, just looking at it as an observer, Hamas, Hezbollah and the Israelis are sort of like a triangle that are bound together. When I say the Israelis, I mean Netanyahu. And one's existence is dependent on the threat of the others. Mm-hmm. And that's the situation we're in. And unless we have some chance of peacekeeping, unless we have some chance of a ceasefire, then the whole thing just blows up in our faces. I do think the Israelis want the UNIFIL troops out of there because it leaves them a free pathway to where they want to go. And there's lots of games going on here, and we're caught in the middle of it. And it's a dance of death.
I mean, the dance of death, this kind of symbiotic relationship that's there, it's not of the choosing of the ordinary Lebanese people.
Not.
And probably not of the choosing of the ordinary people in Gaza.
And I suspect if you were to talk to many of the Irish troops who are there in southern Lebanon, who've got to know the people, the locals, that's what they would say, that they're the innocent victims caught up in this conflict. And I presume many of them would actually feel a sense of responsibility.
Yeah. It's interesting, that idea of symbiosis, because I'm sure the Israelis did not want October the 7th. But what has followed...
Yes.
Symbiotically, it's useful to one man. That's Netanyahu.
Yeah, and it's extraordinary.
And it's useful to it was useful to the now dead leaders of Hamas and Hezbollah. It gave them a raison d'etre, even though their peoples might have not wanted to be following the course that they, as militarists, decided to follow.
Yeah, and it's extraordinary that Netanyahu is a kind of a wartime leader, in inverted commas, is so unpopular within his own country. I mean, that's kind of unusual in a wartime situation. Usually there's a kind of a rally around the flag, rally around the leader.
They seem to be rallying around more on the Lebanese war than they rallied on the Gaza war.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, that is, I guess, a consequence of what is it, 12,000 rockets fired into northern Israel, 60,000 people dislocated or having to relocate because of that in Israel. But, if the Israelis visit the kind of level of destruction on Lebanon that they did on Gaza, now that's, Lebanon's a bigger country, obviously, and a bigger landmass, but, it could soon turn. And don't forget, ultimately Israelis are furious that nothing has been done to bring home the hostages that remain in Gaza.
Just to say, I mean, if it's correct that Israel are deliberately attacking UN peacekeepers, that's a hugely serious situation. So I don't think we can put, each of these nations or, groups in the same bracket. Israel ultimately has huge power, seems even the US president didn't have any kind of, there was no suggestion when he spoke to Netanyahu earlier this week of a ceasefire in Lebanon. So
I can almost imagine what's happening in the Israeli war cabinet. Netanyahu is going in and saying, we're so close.
We've
eliminated so many leaders of Hamas, we've eliminated so many leaders of Hezbollah, we're so close, don't stop me now. And the consensus in his cabinet is not to stop him now.
And there's an American election looming that he knows that his actions influence. It's like a confluence of events happened for him that favours what he's doing.
Yeah, he has all of the power now at the moment. All until this election is over, and it seems like none of the candidates and the current president want to really get involved in any significant way here. But I think what's interesting is that the world is kind of turning towards the Irish position in relation to Gaza and Palestine. And Ireland has been vindicated in some way. Not that, you know, that's what anybody's looking for. But even the German public are moving in a different direction. And there's more nuanced position coming out of
But
of
nothing
Germany.
Can happen until after the result on in November.
I don't think it will, unfortunately.
Nothing decisive will change. And even then, we don't really know. Kamala Harris is trying to play to both the left of her party, who are, if you like, pro the Palestinian problem, they're solving it and perhaps helping the Palestinian people, and those in the centre and on the right are still very much in Israel's corner.
But like we see this in Bob Woodward's book this week, I think, about, you know, the degree to which Biden speaks scornfully of Bibi Netanyahu in private. However scornfully he speaks of him, and however tense their conversations are, and I know they went months without talking, for example. Like, the fundamental issue is the supply of arms to Israel by the United States. So that's the game changer. So only if a decision is taken in relation to that, and I don't think it will be because of lots of different reasons, the game won't change and the fundamentals won't change, no matter how scornfully Biden speaks of...
Now, what about our Taoiseach visiting Joe Biden for a very brief meeting in the White House?
Well, look, obviously with the hurricane, that kind of... had an impact on the amount of meetings that he had while he was over there, but for a very, very short period of time. I do think diplomacy is really important, ongoing diplomacy, and I think it's more important than people probably realise, to go back to the earlier conversation we were having. I think he was correct. Like, this is to do with arms, and was there any influence that we had in relation to arms? No, and certainly not until after the election. But the continuing meeting, I think, is important. Nobody across the globe is in any doubt as to where Ireland stands. And I think that there's more that we can do at home. Like the Occupied Territories Bill has come up again this week. I think there we can move forward, in my view, with seeing if things have changed, which they have. Can we sever more trade links, for instance? But arms is the critical one.
Now, I want to give a clarification. Our listeners are great. As you know, cobalt is a chemical element used in a variety of products, including paint pigments. So you can have cobalt red, cobalt yellow, cobalt green, cobalt blue, orange or purple. So the spy in the camp may come from any party.
That's it. Your listeners are cobalt. Very clever, Pat.
So we're no clearer.
But that's it. But just coming back to the supply of arms, I mean, many European countries are supplying arms. And I mean, the Polish peacekeepers, the Irish peacekeepers, they're under severe threat at the moment. It's the situation is critical, as we hear. So European countries will have to look to themselves as well if something happens, because their arms are being supplied. And as I said, Polish and Irish peacekeepers are there.
Now, moving on to Hurricane Milton, we don't happily get hurricanes of that nature here. We do get mild enough hurricanes, but not of the kind they have seen in the last couple of weeks in Florida. And Joe Biden telling Trump, finally, to get a life and help the people in trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, people were crying out for a bit of that kind of talk.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Trump was spreading a lot of misinformation about this, and in terms of, you know, saying that the governors weren't happy, that Biden was refusing to speak to the governors, I think, in the affected states. And the governors were saying, well, no, that's not the case. Throwing out all this stuff about FEMA money, federal aids for disaster management being given to illegal migrants, all this like mad stuff. And I think
not as mad as Marjorie Taylor Greene and the Democrats controlling the weather.
I mean, that's
Republican states.
Yeah. That's particularly
bananas.
But Ron
DeSantis has come out now and sort of he's equated the support he got from Trump and Biden, and that's a big step forward.
Yeah,
you know. So I think perhaps, thankfully, the impact was not as severe as was predicted.
But I mean, like the net point in terms of the election is I don't think Florida's in play for the Democrats. So, you know, that's so how much
does it all come down to votes?
Well, I mean, I guess in terms of
for
the
all
election,
of you,
you know, 25 days
you,
away.
Yeah.
For all of us except you. Because if you're not there, you can't influence. Yeah. And maybe that brings us back to where we started.
Pauline?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting. Actually, I think the US in general, they do step in to deal with these crises probably better than many places do. And I know there's always going to be arguments over has enough been done. And obviously there's millions of people without power.
Would it be fair to say that they do, with the establishment of FEMA and so on and its resourcing, they do expect these things, they plan for them every year. For us, a drop of rain is always a big surprise.
I think,
strangely.
I think there are lessons, and I don't often say that, but there are lessons to be learned. But I think what, so they're, you know, they deal with the consequences, but do they deal with the causes? And I think, you know, climate change is absolutely in play here, and it's as plain as the nose on your face, and yet the complete denial that we're hearing that it's anything to do with climate change, you know, is shocking.
Do you think it'll stop,
well.
Hugh? Do you think it'll stop people bringing their kids to Florida for Disney and Universal? And
I think they'll just have to think about it a bit more and make sure they don't go during hurricane season. I mean, that's it, really. But I mean, increasingly, like, you know, when is hurricane season?
That's
it seems to be kind of all
year
round.
Yeah, I mean, there were a number of tornadoes leading up to this, you know. So
I mean, historically, I think hurricane season in that part of the world has been sort of July, August, September. I mean, we're into October.
Yeah, yeah, well, the end of November is officially the end of hurricane season.
Okay, right.
So we'll watch that space. Hugh
Maybe
O'Connell,
the weather is watching the election unfolding and responding.
Hugh O'Connell, political editor of the Sunday Independent, Senator Pauline O'Reilly, Green Party, general election candidate for Galway West, and Marion Harkin, TD for Sligo Leitrim, North West Common and South Donegal. You wanted to say something?
Sunday Times, political editor.
Sunday Times.
And general election candidate. Also,
yes. You're going as well.
I'm going as well, Pat.
Very good.
Influence.
Thank you, one and all, for joining us on the programme. And that's all we've time for. Don't forget our items from today are uploaded as podcasts, which you can listen to on the Newstalk app, powered by Go Loud. Just search for The Pat Kenny Show.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on Newstalk.